The seventh chapter of Hilchis Tshuva is the Rambam's ode to Tshuva and to the Baal Tshuva. Halacha Aleph. Hoyel Urushus Kol Adam Nitzon Elokei Moshe Be'Yarnu. Since free choice was granted to every single human being, as we explained in Hilchis Tshuva chapters 5 and 6, so now we come to the conclusion. Therefore, Yishtadel Adam Lasas Tshuva. A person should try to do tshuva, to live a life that is completely aligned with his or her truest and deepest divine core. Veliner kap of mechatov, and to cleanse his hands from corruption, from his transgressions. Kedei sheyamuz v'hu bal tshuva, so that he dies as a bal tshuva. Kedei sheyiske l'chaya elam haba, so that he merits the life of the world to come. It's fascinating that the Rambam uses the term yishtadel adam lasas tshuva. A person should try to do tshuva. He doesn't say chayev adam lasas tshuva. A person is obligated. It's like almost the Rambam is acting here as a wise consultant and saying, I want to give you some wise advice. I want to plant an idea into your head. Since you have free choice, it would be a good idea. It wouldn't be a bad idea for you to do tshuva. We would expect the Rambam to say, a person is obligated to do tshuva. Perhaps the Rambam uses the word yishtadel to convey a very profound idea. Authentic tshuva must come from within. You know, imagine your wife tells you, I want you to say I'm sorry. So you say, okay, I'm sorry. The definition of a real I'm sorry is that it comes from your own internal awareness. Authentic tshuva is tshuva that is not only sincere, but it's also tshuva that you choose to do. That's why the Rambam says, since free choice was granted to a person, therefore you should try to do tshuva. In other words, you should choose to do tshuva. You should appreciate who you really are, who you are not, what you can be, what it means to possess the gift of freedom, and therefore yishtadel lasas tshuva. Of course, this is very consistent with the view of the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Samach Dalet that we discussed at length in Perek Aleph, especially in our question and answer segment on Perek Aleph, who holds that the Rambam does not hold that tshuva is a mitzvah, because in Perek Aleph of Hilchus Tshuva, the Rambam didn't say there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. He said when a person does tshuva, he has to verbally confess. So the Minchas Chinuch holds, the Rambam holds there's no mitzvah of tshuva. When you decide to do tshuva, there are mitzvahs that govern how to do tshuva. That's the Minchas Chinuch Shitta that we explained. And one of the explanations in this is because, by definition, tshuva is not something that you command. If I command you, if I give you a mitzvah, if Hashem gives you a mitzvah to do tshuva, then it's not the real mitzvah of tshuva. The real mitzvah of tshuva is an inner conviction, an inner awareness. I must realize where I am today and where I want to be tomorrow. Halacha Beis. La'olam yirada mesatzma kilu hu noita lamus. Person should always see himself as though he's leaning towards death. And that he may die at any time. Nobody knows when their time is up. V'nimtza, and it can happen that oimed b'chatov, that he may die when he's still filled with his pettiness, with his sins, with his corruptions. L'fichach, therefore, yashuv mechatov miyad. Therefore, a person should do tshuva from all of his sins immediately. He should not delay it. L'yoymar, he shouldn't say, k'sha ask an ashuv. I have a lot of time. When I become an old man or an old woman, that's when I'll do tshuva. Shema yamas kaidam shayask. Person may pass away before he gets old. The Rambam here is not trying to be pessimistic and ask people to become hypochondriacs and full of stress and anxiety. They may die at any moment. The Rambam is actually teaching us something very profound, and that is, imagine that this was the last day of your life. How would you live? Is this the way you would speak to your children? If you knew this was the last thing you'll ever tell them? Is this the way you would speak to your spouse if you knew that this was the last thing you would ever tell him or her? Is this the way you would deal in your business? Is this the way you would treat people? Is this how you would spend your time? The Rambam says, I want you to live every day with the same authenticity, with the same integrity, with the same level of truthfulness and accountability and depth as though it was your last day. This is what Shlomo says in his wisdom, Kehelas chapter 9, your clothes should always be white. I shouldn't wait tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll apologize. In a year I'll say I'm sorry. I'll make amends with this one or that one. In 5 years, in 10 years, we still have time. No, no, no. Clean your clothes today. Your clothes should always be white. Nobody knows when their time is up. Halacha Gimel. V'yal Toimar, don't say to yourself, she'ena tshuva ela me'avedes she'esh ben ma'isa. Tshuva only applies to sins that are about action. Kegoin, znuz, guzzle, gneva. Someone was involved in promiscuity, in robbery, in theft, then I have to do tshuva. The Rambam says that's not true. K'shem she'zarech adam lashuv me'elu kachu tzarech l'chapes b'dei Yisroel she'esh levo lashuv man. Just as you have to do tshuva from immoral actions, the same. You have to examine your inner characteristics, your toxic thoughts and dispositions, and do tshuva for them too. Min hakas, anger. Min ha'eva, hatred. Min ha'kina, jealousy. Min ha'tachrus, toxic competitiveness. Min ha'hitl, scoffery, mocking others. Min redifas ha'momen, chasing money. Ha'kovid, chasing honor, glory, validation. Min redifas ha'macholos, binging, chasing food. V'kayotzeben, all these types of inner habits, qualities, dispositions. Min ha'kol tzorech lachzor b'tshuva. From all of these, a person has to be able to do tshuva. Ve'elu ha'avoynes koshim mi'osin shesh b'maisa. And remember, these types of sins are often more difficult to do tshuva than immoral actions. Shabizman shadim nishka be'elu kosher hu lifrish. Because when you become submerged in these types of habits of thoughts and these types of characteristics, it's very hard to extricate yourself from them. V'cheinu weimer, this is what the prophet says in Yeshaya, and hey, yazav rasha darkev yishavin machshav oisov. Let the rasha abandon his path, but let the man of iniquity also abandon his thoughts. Tshuva is not just about repenting from inappropriate actions and behaviors in the external physical world. Of course that is true, but the Rambam says tshuva is also the courage to truly be introspective, to be vulnerable, and to open myself up to the weaknesses, to the toxic thoughts, dispositions, and characteristics that contaminate my life, my attitudes, my relationships, and to make sure that even if they exist, they will not dictate my life, they will not define my trajectory, my destiny, and my inner communication with myself and with others. Halacha dalet. Al yedam abal tshuva shumiruchu kamaylas hatzadikim b'nei avoynes v'chatoyus shi'asa. Lest the bal tshuva think that he is far, far removed from the virtue, from the great quality of the life of the tzadikim because of all of the sins and transgressions that he has committed. Ein hadover kein, says the Rambam, do not entertain this idea. It's not true. The Baal Tshuva is beloved and cherished by the Creator as though he has never sinned. Furthermore, his reward is actually greater than others. Because he tasted the taste of sin, and nonetheless he had the courage to separate from it, to battle it, to confront it, and to conquer his Yetzahara. Amru Chachamim. The sages said in Meseches Brachos Lamed Dalet, Mokem Shebali Tshuva Imdim Bayein, Tzadikim Burim Yecholim Lamed Bay. The space where Bali Tshuva stand, even complete Tzadikim cannot stand there. Keloimar, what does this mean, says the Rambam? Ma'alosan G'doylam Imaylas Elush Leichotum Eyalom. The quality of the Baal Tshuva, the greatness of the Baal Tshuva is grander than the virtue of those who never sinned, b'pnei she'en koyv shen yitzrum yoyser mehem, because the Baal Tshuva must conquer their evil inclinations much more than the tzaddikim, and therefore our sages say in the place where the Baal Tshuva stands, even the tzaddik gomor cannot stand. So the Rambam says, never should a Baal Tshuva look at himself and say, ah, I lived such a bad life, I made so many errors, so many mistakes, so many distortions, and therefore I will forever be a lost case, and even if I did tshuva, but you know what, I ultimately remain second tier. The Rambam says, no, never look at it that way. As he says, Hashem loves you, and Hashem cherishes you, and not only that, there's something about the Baal Tshuva that is much greater even than the tzaddikim. And the Rambam says three things. The Baal Tshuva tasted the taste of sin, he separated from it, and he conquered his Yetzirah. It seems like what the Rambam is saying is that there's something unique about the Baal Tshuva. And that is, because he tasted the taste of sin, and he had to confront sin, and had to separate himself from it, and deal maybe with a very ugly Yetzirah. So his Yiddishkeit, his Tshuva, his relationship with Hashem has something very mature about it. There's something very authentic, very deep, very sincere. It must be internalized. He had to fight for where he is. It did not just come easy. Now, it is interesting because in Gemara and Brachas, Lamadal and Amad Beis, there's an argument. Rabbi Yochanan holds that tzaddikim are greater than Baal Tshuva. It's Rabbi Avohu who disagrees and says, B'mokim shebaal Tshuva ayimdim, ain't tzaddikim murim yecholim lamed. The Mefarshim struggle and want to understand why the Rambam chose to embrace the view of Rabbi Avohu over his own teacher, Rabbi Avohu's teacher, Rabbi Yochanan, when usually in most cases the halacha would be like Rabbi Yochanan. But here clearly the Rambam chooses the opinion of Rabbi Avohu that b'makim shemali tshuva and them ain't tzaddikim gmurim mechayelam lama. The Shalosh says that there's no argument between the two. They're talking about two different types of tshuva. There's tshuva out of awe, out of fear, and there's tshuva out of love. Tshuva out of fear, the tzaddik is greater, but tshuva out of love, the bal tshuva is greater. And here the Rambam says, oh, v'nechmad, he's beloved, he's cherished, he's going to soon talk a lot about the love, so therefore, the Reb Avo is for sure right that the bal tshuva is greater than the tzaddik. Reb Shlomo Yosef Zevin has a sefer HaMayodim Balacha, and there he quotes a Torah from the Rogatchover Gaon, Rabbeinu Yosef Rosen, the Tzofnes Paneach. And he says that the Rambam had a proof to the view of Reb Avo from a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Memtes. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Memtes Amid Beis a fascinating halach. If somebody betroths a woman, and this guy happens to be known as a Rosh Gomer, he's a no goodnik. But when he betroths the woman, he makes a condition. He tells the woman, I'm betrothing you, but there's a condition. The stipulation is that I'm a tzaddik. So you might think, oh, for sure the marriage never happened. We all know he's a Rosh. The Gemara says, no. She's Mekudesh. We have to be concerned that she may be betrothed to him, and therefore she needs a get. Why? Shema hirir tshuva bedaitai. He may have experienced just a thought of tshuva, and immediately he is transformed from a Rosh into a tzaddik. Asks the Rogatchover Gaon, but I don't understand. If the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, that a tzaddik is greater than a bal tshuva, she shouldn't be mekudesh. Because even if he became a bal tshuva because he had a hirir tshuva, he's still not a tzaddik. So therefore it's a mekach tos, he deceived her. Maybe he's not a Rosh, but he's not a tzaddik. He told her, I'm a kaddish ezish, I'm not shani tzaddik. From here the Rambam proved that la halacha, we say like Rabbi Avo, that a bal tshuva is greater than a tzaddik, and therefore b'chlal masai yamana, within $200, you have $100. If he said, I'm being mekaddish, I'm not shani tzaddik, he becomes a bal tshuva. A bal tshuva is greater than a tzaddik, so certainly he's a tzaddik too. This is what Rav Zevin brings from the Rogatchover Gaon, why the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Avo versus Reb Yochanan. I saw a letter from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he said that he does not understand the Vart of the Rogatchover for two reasons. Number one, the halacha is that if you deceive your wife, even by saying something greater about yourself, even by underestimating yourself, it's called hitasa l'shvach, she's also not makudesh. For example, let's say you betroth your wife with the condition that you're a poor man. Turns out that you're a rich man. Is she makudesh or not? The halacha is she's not. Why? Because she may not be interested in a rich guy. She may be interested in a guy who doesn't have money. So what do we see from here? Just like if you deceive her in one direction, she's not Mekudesh. If you deceive her in the opposite direction, she's also not Mekudesh. So according to the Rogatchover, it still wouldn't make sense. Because if a Baal Tshuva is greater than a tzaddik, he told her, I'm an Ashani tzaddik. So then the Baal Tshuva wouldn't work either. Besides the fact, even though there are certainly virtues in the Baal Tshuva over the tzaddik, there's certainly virtues in the tzaddik over the Baal Tshuva as well. Needless to say, as discussed in different svarim. And therefore, the fact that he said, I'm an Ashani tzaddik, she may want dafka tzaddik, not a bal tshuva, so it would still be difficult to understand. There is a word from the Yismach Moshe, and a similar word from the Kotzker Rebbe. They explained it homiletically as follows. It's not the literal interpretation, it's a homiletical interpretation. The place where bali tshuva stand, tzaddikim gemurim cannot stand there. Why? Because since they're so holy, they're so righteous, they cannot deal with the sins and the transgressions of the Baalei Tshuva. So they literally cannot stand in that space. It's too difficult for them because they're allergic to it. Says the Yismach Moshe, that's tzaddikim. But the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm going to stand here. You may not be able to stand in this place, but I'm going to be able to stand in this place. For me, you are beloved, and for me, you are cherished. Which reminds me of the Vart of the Maharal, which I'll tell you at the end of the Shir. Halacha hey. Kol hanaviim kulam tzivu ala tshuva. All of the prophets have instructed the Jewish people to do tshuva. Ve'en Yisrael nigolin ela b'tshuva. And the Jewish people will not be redeemed only through tshuva. Ukvar hifticha teira shesoif Yisrael lasas tshuva besoif galuson umiyad hei nigolin. And the Torah has promised that ultimately the Jewish people will do tshuva at the end of their exile and immediately they will be redeemed. Fascinating words of the Rambam, that the Torah made a promise that ultimately, at the end of Golas, the Jewish people are going to do tshuva, and the result is that miyad hei negolin, they immediately are redeemed. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people at the end of his life, Dvorim Perek Lamed, V'hoyaki Yavoyu Alecha Kol HaDvorim Eila, Brocha V'Aklal V'Goymer. When all these things will befall you, the blessing and the curse, etc. V'ashe V'shafto Ad Hashem Alekecha V'Goymer. You will do tshuva, you will return to Hashem, and what will the result be? V'shav Hashem Alekecha Shvuscha. Hashem will bring back and return with all of the Jewish people who have been in captivity, and as the pasuk continues, V'rechamecha, he will embrace you with love, he will gather you from all of the nations where he has scattered you in exile. From here we see that when the Jewish people do tshuva, miyad hein nigolin. Halacha vav. G'doyla tshuva shemekareves es ha'adam l'shchina. Tshuva is awesome, because it brings a person close to the Shechina. Shenema, the pasuk says in Hosea, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Alekecha. Return Yisrael to Hashem Alekecha, meaning Tshuva brings you ad. It brings you till the point where you are so close to Hashem. Venema, another pasuk in Yoel, Shuvu Adayin Hashem. Hashem says, return to me. In other words, Tshuva is not just acts of repentance or words of confession. Tshuva actually allows a person to come close to the divine. V'nemar, Pasuk in Yirmiyah Perek Dalet says, Im Toshuv Yisrael Nu'um Hashem, Elai Toshuv. Hashem says, if you return Yisrael, you're returning to me. Kaloimar, meaning, Im Tachzer B'tshuva, Bi Tidbak. Hashem says, if you do tshuva, you come close to me, you become connected to me, you cleave to me. And the Rambam begins to explain what he means when he said that tshuva is so great because it brings a person close to the Shechina. Ha-tshuva mekareves es ha-rechoikim. Tshuva brings close those who were distant. Emesh, just yesterday, ho-yozeh soni lifnei ha-makim. This person's behavior was loathed, it was hated by Hashem. Meshukatz, disgraceful. Umeruchak, he was distant. V'toyeva, his behavior was abominable, repulsive. V'hayoyim today, hu ohuv, he's beloved. V'nechmad, he's desirable, he's cherished. Karoiv, he's close. V'yidid, he is so dear. The Rambam uses four expressions in both directions. Just yesterday, not a year ago. Yesterday, his behavior with Sonny, loathed. Meshukatz means disgusting. Meruchak, he was far away. And Toyeva, it was repulsive. And today, the Rambam now uses another four expressions in the opposite. Ohuv, Nechmad, Karoiv, V'yidid. This is the power of tshuva transformation. And we see here the transformation doesn't happen over years or months or weeks. The Rambam says, Emesh, just yesterday. V'chein, ata maitzi, similarly, you find that Baal Shepalosh and Shakadosh Baruch Hu merachik es hachaitim b'mekarev es hashavim. The same phrase, the same language that Hashem employs when distancing the sinners, he employs the same language to bring close those who repented. Bein yachid, bein rabim. Both in terms of an individual who does tshuva or the public. Shenemar, when it comes to the public, the pasuk says in Hosea, V'hoya b'mkoy ma she'yomer lahem lo yamiyatem, ye'yomer lahem b'nei keil choy. In lieu of saying to them, when they were filled with corruption, you are not my people. Now when they did tshuva, I define you as the children of a living God. What do we see from here? The immediate and powerful transformation of tshuva. During the sin and corruption, it's as though, loy amiyatem, you're not my nation. And now, b'nei keil choy, there is this transformation, you are my children. V'nema, we also see this by an individual. B'yichanya, the story of Yechaniah. Yechaniah was the king of Judea. This is in the last fading years of the first Beis Hamikdash. Yechaniah's father, Yehoyakim, was ultimately killed by Nebuchadnezzar when he rebelled against the Babylonian emperor. And Nebuchadnezzar appointed his son, Yechaniah, as the new king of Yehuda. It did not last long. After a few months, Nebuchadnezzar came, arrested Yechaniah, exiled him and many of the great Jewish sages and leaders to Babel. This is still 11 years before he would destroy the Beis HaMikdash and exile the rest of the Jews. We describe the Golus of Yechaniah in Megillas Esther. Now Yechaniah was, the Rambam says, "Nemar bi Yechaniah bi Rishasa." It says about Yechaniah when he was wicked. Yechaniah was a no goodnik. So the pasuk says about him in Yirmiyah, Perik Chav Beis, Yirmiyah was the prophet of the time. Kisvu es ha'ish hazeh ariri gever la yitzlach biyamav. Write down about this person that he will not leave an ear to the throne. He will be a man who will not succeed during his lifetime because there will not be another ruler that will come from his family to rule the Jewish people. Now remember, Yechaniah was Melech Yehuda. He was a grandson of David HaMelech and of Shlomo HaMelech. But he was a Rasha. He was exiled to Babylonia, and Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian emperor, threw him into a dungeon where he remained for many, many, many years until he was emancipated. The pasuk continues about Yechoniah. In Yirmiyah Perik Chav Beis, the pasuk says in the same chapter, Im Yiyah Chaniyahu, which is Yechoniah, Im Yiyah Chaniyahu ben Yoyakim Melech Yehuda Choysam al Yad Yemini V'goyimer Kim Yishom Et HaKenecha. Ribbono Shel Olam says, even if Yechoniah, the son of Yehoyakim, who was even a more heinous and evil king, Melech Yehuda, even if he would serve as a signet ring on my right hand, and we know the king would always have his ring, his signature ring on his finger. It always accompanied him, which means it was like a permanent garment on the king. So Hashem says, even if I would have Yechoniah as my signet ring, Mishama Takancha, I would remove him. I would remove him from it because of his corrupt ways. And as a leader of the Jewish people, this of course affected the whole society. V'kivan sheshav begalusoy. But Yechoniah, in exile, he did tshuva. What happens? Nemar b'Zerubbabel b'noi. He had a descendant, Zerubbabel, who was actually a great-grandson. Yechoniah had a son, Shaltiel. Shaltiel had a son, Pediah. And Pediah had a son, Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel will ultimately come back to Eretz Yisrael and help reestablish the Jewish community and Jewish civilization in the Holy Land, rebuilding the second Beis Hamikdash. About Zerubbabel, the pasuk says in Chagai, "Bayoyim ahu nu'um Hashem tzvois, ekachacha Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel avdi nu'um Hashem v'samticha kachoysa." On that day, Hashem says, "I will take you, I will retrieve you, Zerubbabel, a descendant of Yechoniah, and I will place you as my signet ring." The same phrase that was used to distance Yechoniah was used to embrace the descendants of Yechoniah, Zerubbabel, because of Yechoniah's tshuva. The Medrash Rabbah says in Vayikra Parsha Yutes, what was the tshuva of Yechoniah? It's a fascinating story. Very briefly, Yechoniah was in a dungeon, and the Jewish people were very concerned that there will not be anybody left of the dynasty of David HaMelech, the dynasty of Malchus, which leads all the way to Mashiach. And they got an old woman to convince the king's wife, Nebuchadnezzar's wife, the queen, to persuade her husband to allow Yechoniah to be with his spouse. And the Medrash says that Nebuchadnezzar's spouse did that. When they were together, she told him, "Wait for a moment. You're concerned for yourself to have an heir. Now think how the Jews feel." And Nebuchadnezzar allowed Yechoniah's wife to visit him in the dungeon so that they could be together. When she came into the dungeon, she told Yechoniah right then, that she noticed a spot. Her period, her her cycle of blood began. And Yechoniah said, "So we can't be together?" And she left, and she followed the procedure of halacha, the counting of the 7 days. She went to the mikveh, and after the state of nidah was removed, she came back to Yechoniah. And ultimately, she conceived a child. So the Medrash says, Hashem said to Yechoniah, "In Yerushalayim, you didn't do this. In Yerushalayim, you sinned and sinned. Here you did tshuva, but that's fine. You will have a child." And indeed, Zerubbabel was one of the key influential figures who revitalized the Jewish community at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. So what do we see from here? The Rambam says, the powerful metamorphosis that happens through tshuva, the very same language that was used to distance him is the very same language that is now reversed. That's the power of tshuva. From distance, from complete distance and alienation, we have complete closeness. Halacha Zayin. Kama mu'ula ma'ilas ha'tshuva. How superior is the unique virtue of tshuva? Emesh hoya zeh muvdol me'Hashem elokei Yisrael. Just yesterday, this fellow was separated from Hashem, the God of Israel. Shenema, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Avonei seichem hayom avdilim b'neichem lebein elokeichem. Your sin separated between you and Hashem. Even if this man would cry and daven, he would not be answered. Shenema, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Gam ki sarbu tefillah eneni shameya. Even if you increase in your prayers, I am deaf, I won't listen. V'oisem mitzvahs v'torfen oisem b'fonav. The same person, when he was indulged in corruption and sin and in immorality, may do mitzvahs, but they threw them away in front of his face. Shenema, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, Hashem says, Mi bikesh zois miyetchem remoyes chatzere. Who asked you to trample on my courtyard? I don't need you to come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring all of your offerings and engage in all your rituals when you steal from widows and you steal from orphans and you oppress strangers and you engage in cruelty. I don't need all of this. I did not ask you to trample on my courtyard. Leave. Pasuk also says in Malachi, Mi gam bachem v'yizgered l'asayim v'leisiru mizbechichinam. I would like to ask if somebody could lock the doors of the Beis HaMikdash and don't light up the fire on the Mizbeach in vain. I'm not interested in your fires because I'm not interested in your sacrifices. I'm not interested in your offerings. Close the doors on your Beis HaMikdash and extinguish the flames on the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not interested in you and I do not want your gifts and your sacrifices. V'hayoyim, and today, post-truva, hu mudbek b'shchina, this same person is connected to the Shechina. He's cleaved to the Shechina. He's one. He's attached to the Shechina. Shenema, the Pasuk says in Veschanan Va'atem Hadveikim Ba'Hashem Elokeichem. You are Davuk. You're connected. You're completely intimate and one with Hashem. Mi Vinenami Vitzayek Vinenamiyat. Thus he cries out and he's answered immediately. Shenema, the Pasuk says in Yeshaya Vayeterim Nikro Vaniyena. Even before they call out, I will already answer them. Same person does mitzvahs, and the mitzvahs are accepted and embraced by Hashem with joy and with festivity. Shenema, the pasuk says in Kehelas, Ki kvar rotze l'kimis ma'asecha, Hashem cherishes your deeds. V'lo yoyed el Hashem is'avim lehem. He craves your ma'aseh ha'mitzvahs. Shenema, the pasuk says in Malachi, V'arva la'Hashem minchas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim ki me'ayla m'chushanam kadminiyas. The gifts of Yehuda and Yerushalayim are sweet, are arva, they're orev, they're delicious, they're delightful, they're sweet to Hashem, ki mei oilam, like the days of old, and like the days of yore, and the early years, the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, the times of Shlomo HaMelech, when Hashem craved their mitzvahs. So the Rambam says, this demonstrates to you, it brings out the extraordinary quality of tshuva. It's interesting, what is the difference? People say, Halacha Vav and Halacha Zayin seem a little redundant. In Halacha Vav, the Rambam uses the words tshuva mikareves as ha'adam l'shchina. Tshuva bring a person close to the Shechina. And that's what he explains, how the person becomes close to the Shechina. Halacha Zayin, he changes the terminology. His terminology is that through tshuva, the person is mudbak b'shchina. You're not just close, you're completely one. Close, I'm close to you, but there's still a distinction between you and I. Dveikus means two entities become one. They become connected. It's like one entity. This is even a deeper level of tshuva. That's why he starts. Kama ma'ula malas ha'tshuva. In tshuva itself, how superior is a higher level in tshuva? Malas ha'tshuva. The heights within tshuva. After gedoyla tshuva. It's not just he becomes close to the Shechina, he becomes completely one with the Shechina. They're inseparable. The Baal Tshuva and Hashem are completely one entity. And that's why in Halacha Zayin, the Rambam says, he davens and he is immediately answered, sometimes even before he finishes davening. Because the reason it takes time between my prayers and God's answers is because there's distant. You know, if I have to give you something and you're not here, so I have to send it, it takes some time. Even if you're close to me, it may take a few moments. But if we're one, so then there's absolutely no gulf, there's no distance. The Rambam says also, this person, he does mitzvahs, and Hashem doesn't only appreciate the mitzvahs, he loves the mitzvahs, he craves the mitzvahs. Mis'ava l'mitzvahs. This represents complete oneness. The last halacha ches. Bali tshuva darkam li'yishvelim v'anovim b'yoyser. Bali tshuva, their path is one of extreme humility and modesty. When fools humiliate them about their earlier actions, and they say to them, and I remember yesterday what you used to do so-and-so. And yesterday you spoke so-and-so. This sometimes happens. A Baal Tshuva changes his life, and then he's sitting at an event, sitting in shul, sitting at a bar mitzvah, sitting at a kiddush. And one chacham of the manashtana says, look who's talking. You remember who he was. You remember how he used to behave. You remember how he used to talk. So the Rambam says, when you're a real Baal Tshuva, you have mastered the art of humility and modesty. Al yargishu lahem. Don't respond. Don't let this penetrate you. Don't let this take over your life. El Shaymin, the Baal Tshuva, can hear these words. Usmeichen. And actually, internally, they remain happy. They know this is a merit for them. As they experience the humility and the healthy shame of their old actions, and they actually feel, they blush from them, this only increases their merit and their depth, their authenticity, their virtue. grows only deeper and deeper. But the Rambam says that's from the Baal Tshuva's perspective. Now let's speak about the other guy. It's a great sin to tell a Baal Tshuva, oh, you remember your old actions, or even just to mention them before him, even if you're not telling him, oh, you remember what you were like 5 years ago? Just mentioning it before him is forbidden. If you're doing it in order to embarrass him. Of course, if you're having a conversation with the Baal Tshuva about his past, and he's sharing with you, that may be amazingly inspiring about how he transformed himself. But we're talking about you saying these things to humiliate him, to denigrate him. Or even, if it's not to embarrass him explicitly, you just feel the need to mention all these types of things in order to remind him what he did. Says the Rambam, HaKoyl Asur, it's forbidden. U'muzer alav b'chlal hoinoyaz dvarim. The violation for this is part of what the Torah means when it gives us a prohibition against hoinaz dvarim. Hoinaz dvarim means verbal abuse. Sheizhira la Torah, the Torah warns us against it. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Parshas Bahar, V'loisoinu ish es hamisoi. You should not aggravate your fellow. You should not taunt your fellow. This is a prohibition against hoinaz dvarim. People don't realize that verbal abuse, abusing somebody verbally, is a violation of Torah. The Torah prohibits this. So this is true about abusing verbally anybody. The Rambam says when somebody verbally abuses, embarrasses a Baal Tshuva in any form or fashion, it is part of this prohibition of v'loisoinu ish es hamisoi. I'm going to conclude this chapter with an extraordinary metaphor of the Maharal of Prague that is very appropriate. Maharal of Prague was the rabbi of Prague, Rabbi Yehuda Leva of Prague. He passed away. Chai Elul Shin Samach Tes, the 18th of Elul, 1609. He's buried in Prague. He was one of the great seminal thinkers of the medieval ages. And the Maharal has a sefer called Nesivais Oilam. In that, he has a section called Nesiv Hatshuva. In Perik Aleph, he gives the following parable. He quotes a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says in Makos that Shalu l'chachma, they asked wisdom, what should be the fate of the sinner? And wisdom said, oh, it's going to be a bad fate. Chatoyim tir difra, evil will always pursue the sinner. They asked prophecy, what shall be the fate of the sinner? And prophecy said, he tamos, must die. They asked Torah, what should be the fate of the sinner? And Torah said, let him bring a sacrifice. Shalul HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They asked Hashem, what should be the fate of the sinner? And Hashem said, Yaseh tshuva v'yischapa. They let him do tshuva and everything will be cleansed. So the Maharal says, what does this mean? He gives an extraordinarily moving metaphor. And he says as follows. There was a man who took a most expensive vessel of the king's private palace and he broke it. He was not careful with it. He broke it. And when he realized what he did, he was so devastated and he was frightened. What do I do? So he went to a very wise man to consult. And the wise man looked at him and said, oy, 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 oy. You got to run away as far as possible. You're going to be a fugitive for the rest of your life. You don't want the king catching up to you after you have committed such a crime. So he thought, you know what? Maybe this wise man doesn't know everything. Let him go to somebody who was part of the palace. He was part of the royal entourage. He may give him a better understanding. So he goes to somebody who was part of the palace and he consults him. And the man says, this is really bad. This is treason. You took the king's most cherished vessel and you broke it. This is treason. This is a horrible, horrible crime. Was titman jetzt? What do you do now? So he was smart. He said, you know what? These guys don't know. Let me go to the Uman. Let me go to the craftsman. Let me go to the silversmith, who was a goldsmith, the one who sculptured, who designed the vessel. He'll know how to deal with imperfections and blemishes. And he went to the craftsman, and he showed him the broken vessel. The craftsman looked at it and said, yeah, I can repair it, but it's going to take a lot of work. Oy, 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 oy. Is this going to be a headache? And you know what? I have to tell you, even after all the repairs, it's never going to be the same. It's never going to be the same. So the wise man had only words of doom. The close consultant and friend of the king had only words of doom. And the craftsman wasn't very hopeful either. So the man said, there's only one person I could discuss this with, the king himself. And he goes into the king's sanctuary and he shows him the broken vessel. And the king lovingly looks at him and says, "Ah, my dear child, I want to tell you a little secret. This is exactly how I like it. In fact, this is how I use it. In my innermost chamber, I use broken vessels, not complete vessels. This is exactly what I need. Thank you." Says the Maharal, "Wisdom said, evil will pursue you. Prophecy said, you must die. Torah said, bring a carbon. And Hashem said, the moment you use your darkness, your mistakes, to become close to me, it's all forgiven, because it's the broken vessels that I cherish most. It's the broken vessels that I actually use in my own private chamber."